Scripture reading is going to be from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting at verse 12, and I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles or the Pew Bibles. And then if you're inclined to keep that open during the message, you also might want to keep a finger open in Romans 12, which in a lot of ways is a parallel passage. But before we read that, I have a few general comments to make, and we'll pray. There's a lot of things we learn by reading, and we get that head knowledge. And there's some things that we learn experientially, and then there's times we learn both. Sooner or later, the two meet together. My 3 years plus in seminary, important years, good years, learning a lot of things that some of them I'd experienced experientially and others not. I mean, you have to work into that. Some of it takes a lifetime for us to grow into what we learn. But I had learned something very significant. I'd shared the story, I think, two or three times over the years here, so I'm not going to go in detail, but it has to do with me learning a truth experientially about the church, the people of God, the importance of it, and why I believe there's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christians, why I just feel like I can't stay at home and turn on the TV and say I'm worshiping there or on a regular basis, or saying, well, I'm going to go out in the mountains. I feel close to God. I can do that. Or I can just stay at home, read my Bible, and pray, and I've worshiped. There is something significantly missing. I discovered that by having a crisis of the soul and having it pointed out to me by a very godly man. Holy Spirit really testified to that experientially, that what I was missing was fellowshipping, serving with other believers. And then later learning that, today these passages deal specifically with that. The body of Christ, the church. And church literally means in the New Testament the called out ones. And we're called out by God. And God didn't call us just to an individualistic faith. He calls us into a body of believers that we might worship together, that we might encourage one another, that we might serve together. It's His design. So we have that experientially. And part of that comes down to something then very personal. So in the bulletin, the scripture verse that is there on that first page is that God gave certain people to the church. He's giving now certain roles and functions. It's the spiritual gifts. Gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints, all of us, the saints, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So for us to have a mature faith, it's tied in together. I can't do it on my own. That's why these passages are so important. They give us a theological foundation for the church, that is, us, the people of God. So the passage from Romans 12 was kind of a general passage. It was the book of Romans written by Paul, a letter to the church at Rome. I think it's his most systematic writing, and in it he's not really addressing major issues that are there at that church. He probably is trying to keep them from happening, but 1 Corinthians, the whole reason he wrote that is because there were major issues in Corinth. And each chapter that we read in 1 Corinthians just deals with these things. And a lot of it had to do with disunity that had come about because of these issues. One of the major things being spiritual gifts and the roles and functions of God's people and how the people perceive those. How do they work together? And they weren't doing it very well. So that's why Paul wrote 1 Corinthians. And the 1 Corinthians 12 beautifully lays that out. And then 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And Paul, that's where he says, that's what it's all about. If we don't have love, we don't have anything. So as we come to look at these passages, let's join our hearts in prayer. Lord, this is your word that we are coming to. We take it seriously. We want to not only understand it with our minds, but we want this to become our reality. We want to be the church, your people, the best that we can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, being the church is what we're called to do, to live out our faith together. And during a transitional time, it perhaps is even more important to really understand that. And we really are in a transitional time now. We're preparing for a transitional time with a transitional pastor or interim minister, whatever name we want to apply on that. But it'll be a time of transition, a time of some change, some looking at things, some talking about the future. Whatever that's going to entail, it's going to be a little bit different. And it's going to mean that people need to give their input. Everybody needs to listen and value. So then the transition continues when you get your new called pastor. And there's still something new that's going on. And anytime there's something new, there's transition, there's always the opportunity for misunderstanding, for the changes that are being made, for them not to feel comfortable. And so we want to address it, and looking today at just what it means to be the church. And part of it is how we care for one another in the midst of that. And then in the coming weeks, next 5 weeks, I laid this out a couple months ago, but some different aspects of the church, marks of the church. What are the qualities that we are striving for? There's many of them, but the ones that I felt that are important as we're looking towards a transition are forgiving, encouraging, serving, giving, and thanking. So we'll be looking at those individually in the next 5 weeks. So let's begin now as we look at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. This is the Apostle Paul writing this. Again, the church is in a little bit of conflict and lacks some understanding about the body of Christ, the church. For just as the body is one and has many members, and he's talking about physical body, so he's using this analogy, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. So we are the body. That's what Paul says. So he's giving us this great analogy of our body. We have different members, different parts of our body. He's saying we're the body of Christ. And that is important for us to grasp, that whole imagery. We are one body. He wants us to understand that this one body is in Christ. So in Romans 12, which parallels this in a lot of ways, in verse 5, he says, though many, we have one body in Christ and individually members of one another. And in our passage in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, just as the body is one, so, and it has many members, all the members of the body, it's one body, and it is the same here with Christ. It's Christ's body. So we understand that what we're talking about is something, not just a little analogy to talk about how we operate, but something very spiritual. This is a body that is a spiritual body in Christ. And what is implied here is made very clear and specific in Colossians 1:18, where Paul tells them, Christ is the head of the body. It's implied here, it's very clear, but we want to be very specific. We'll find it there in Colossians. So we have this body analogy. The head, who's making the decisions, who's in control of the thoughts, the will, is Christ. And so we understand that we are tied together. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Now at that time, you had a kind of a push and a pull between different groups of people. So in here, it says Jews or Greeks, slaves or free. There were these distinctions. And Paul says, all the same. Everybody's on an equal playing field. We don't make any distinctions at all. And that's through the Spirit connecting us together. The same Spirit, one Holy Spirit, is indwelling each of us and connecting us together as the body of Christ. And then in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 12, gives part of the purpose is that we would not be divided or divisive. Now again, 1 Corinthians was written to a group that were very divided. They were arguing over spiritual gifts. Certain spiritual gifts seemed to be more important. They were the more visible ones. And there were problems arising. And Paul just said, That's not the way it works. And it certainly isn't the way the body is supposed to be. The body is one. We don't divide the body. So we are one body. That is so key. So again, applying that to transitions. Transitions are that time of push and pull. Times when communication is maybe not as complete. And where some things that were always being done, oh no, who did that? How are we going to do it? And we have to be careful with one another. And so we are one body. Now we are one body that is made up of many parts. And this is so key for us. And we're going to just kind of look at the different parts of this. But we have this view of the body, our bodies here, that everything is interrelated and it fits together. I have different functions. My hand functions differently than my nose, where I can smell things, I grasp things here. So they're interrelated, though. We need to have all the different parts of the body. Now, can we live? Can we survive without all the parts of the body? Yes, we can. But not as well. And the body to be healthy, we want all the parts working together. So Paul says we have these interrelated gifts and functions. In Romans 12, for as in the body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So God is giving to us different gifts for serving Him. God is giving to us different experiences in life that allow us to meet the needs of other people. There are a lot of things that I haven't experienced, and therefore I'm not as effective in ministering to someone as another person who's been through it and can really identify and come alongside of someone. It's true for all of us. Or just certain things I can't do. And then we also know that as we get older, our bodies, what we're able to do, it changes. And it shows again our need for one another, that we are interrelated. It's all part of God's design. God designed us to get older, and He designed the church. So He understood how these things are going to work together. So we have these interrelated gifts and functions, and it is God who has chosen what these are. So in 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says, but as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. So it's not each one of us saying, that's who I am, that's what I'm going to do. It's discerning what God's will is, trying to do that through individual prayer, but also through the body of Christ. Part of our system, Presbyterian system, one of the beautiful things about it is that we try to discern some major things together, so that you have committees, and the head leadership is the session. They try to discern God's will together. And actually, this last year, I put up before the session and said, we have 9 elders, and plus the pastor is the moderator, 9 elders, and in a church our size, there are some churches that have reduced down to 6. And we should talk about that, knowing that we were going to come up to this transitional time. And the elders collectively laid out their reasons for staying as 9 elders. Very good reasons. That's the body of Christ. Discerning God's call, but recognizing it is God who has chosen. And we have a nominating committee that works to nominate elders and deacons, and then a nominating committee will nominate your future pastor. But as a congregation, you get to vote on that. I mean, working together as the body of Christ. But recognizing in the midst of that, that in the end, bottom line, it is God who is the one who is directing the course. God has chosen. Just a little bit earlier in this passage in 1 Corinthians, it says that the Spirit gives the gifts and apportions those as He wills. Kind of that mystery of the Trinity again. The Spirit does it, God does it. Who is the Holy Spirit? Spirit is God. So God chooses. Now, another important part that Paul just felt, this is so key, so that people don't really miss the point about this body analogy. He wanted us to understand that all belong. Now, the way that he expresses that is, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. But that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. Or, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body. And that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. What he was getting at is there were some there that were saying, because they had the gift of tongues or the gift of preaching, they were good orators, that they were exalting themselves. And if other people were saying, I don't have that gift, I can't really be part of the body, I don't fit here, Paul's saying, no, you can't say that. You belong. Everyone belongs. And you're on a level playing field. And then he adds the other part, that the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So there is nobody in the body of Christ that can tell somebody else, we don't need you, you're not important. Doesn't fit. Theologically, experientially, it doesn't fit. So we all belong, we are all needed, and when you go through that transitional time, that is just so key to keep coming back to. Just, you all belong together. God has brought you here for a purpose. And you're all needed. You're needed. God has made us in that way. He draws us in to His ministry that we might serve together. So the body, one body, made up of many parts. And we come to verse 25, and it gives another part of the purpose. There's no division, but that the members may have the same care for one another. We care for one another. And we have to understand, how are we able to do this? How are we able to be the body of Christ? It comes back to that Holy Spirit, being baptized into one Spirit, and understand it all comes from God's mercy and grace. So the passage that Leah read and that had memorized back a number of years ago, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God. And then in verse 3, for by the grace given to me, it is by the mercy and the grace of God that we are able to do anything. And it is always available for us. So we care for one another by just coming into that grace of God, receiving it, delighting in it, and extending it to one another. It's part, then, of the foundation of our care for one another. For Paul, a lot of people read through Paul and think he's arrogant at times. Paul had a lot of responsibilities in the church. It weighed heavily on him, but God gave him some tremendous gifts and the responsibilities and the authority. But always behind Paul, when you dig deep and you read into him, was a humility and just, I beseech you by the mercies of God to act this way so we don't have to deal with it. And here he is asking everyone to relate to one another with humility. How do you care for one another? With a humble heart. We come to that. For by the grace of God given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Or in the passage in Corinthians, I'm not going to read it, but basically he just says, on the contrary, here's the way God's system works. It's upside down to what the world thinks. What the world thinks is important and are the most important gifts, God says, those are the lesser ones. It is the ones that people look at and think are inferior and small that God says, this is how my grace is displayed. When people are humble and when people recognize their place and that we all can accomplish things only through God's grace, with that humble spirit, when we do that, we've understood what it means to be God's people. And it is out of humility that we care for one another. Paul gives us two very specific ways that we care for one another. The first is if one member suffers, all suffer together. So if you've experienced surgery and they go in and it's trauma to your body, your recovery time is not where they took out my gallbladder. It's not the only place. It's like this whole body fatigue. We know that, right? And so when one part suffers, it impacts the rest. We're called to care for one another by being aware of the suffering of one another. And then through grace, ministering to one another. And then the other example is if one member is honored, all rejoice together. And it's important to honor one another. To look at the ways that God is working in each other and respect that. And then to delight in it. We all rejoice together over the things that are done. And there's a lot that's done here. And by a lot of people that we sometimes don't even know who's doing it. Little things here and there, as well as the big things. So we suffer with one another. We rejoice with one another. And everything in between. Because we're connected. We are the body of Christ. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? And so during, again, just during those transition times, there will be the things that challenge, the miscommunications, potentially hurt feelings. With humble spirits, with gracious hearts, the body of Christ makes it through and accomplishes all that God has designed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for just the gifts that you give to us, for binding us together as one through your Spirit, for that tender mercy and abundant grace that is there individually for us each day for renewal, that is here for us as the body of Christ. So, Lord, continue to work that in us today and tomorrow, throughout the transition, and forever. In Jesus Christ. Amen.